Okay, the title of today's message is Relationships Built Upon True Love. You notice I didn't write relationships built upon love, right? Because the world today, they define love as a lot of answers. But the message we titled Relationships Built Upon True Love. You see, Satan has mixed us up so much that we've forgotten what it means to experience true love. And you know, when you play with people's heart, there's always lead to broken relationships. And so, you know, I want to say that this message is for those who are, you know, maybe courting, dating, in terms of, you know, courting, learning about relationship, or single, like myself. And for those who are already a couple or married, it's okay. I have next week. So next week's topic's about marriage. It'll be something different than this week. Okay. Amen? For next week? For those who are married? You're not left out. Okay. So today's message is from a lot of my past experience, what I've learned over time. And I give a lot of credit to Nicole and Alan Parker. They're wonderful speakers, dynamic presenters on audioverse.org. And I've learned a lot from them. And I'm going to share in two parts. First part's going to be of how the world views dating, okay? And the second part's about the biblical way of dating, courtship. So first part is dating, second part is courtship. First part is what, everyone? Dating. And second part is courtship, okay? And the title again is Relationships Built Upon True Love. Let's have opening prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we want to lift up your name, Lord. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with me, Lord. And we ask that this message will touch our heart and help us to see how your way is better than the world's way. And your way leads us to more joy than broken relationships and broken hearts, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit be leading and help us convict us of the message. In your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. And throughout the message, I hope you guys can just say, you know, Lord, give that man your word. You know, pray for me, and hopefully it turned out, because I have a lot to do. I wrote out a lot, because this message, I prepared it like in February and March, and then I was like, Pastor Vin, I want to preach it. And he's like, I don't know when. And I think it's coincidence that there's 2 weeks off and I have two messages. Okay. All right, so I'm going to start off with the dating paradigm. Most of you know what that is. You've seen it on TV shows and movies, right? How do you go about finding the one that you're going to marry? Well, you go around and date, right? And after the 5th, 8th, 10th, maybe 20th person, there's the one that's for you, unless you have to have a divorce. Then you have to start over and search again, right? So that's the dating paradigm. This dating paradigm creates this mentality that you go from one relationship to the next, right? You're busy with one person, but they're not interesting, so you move to the next, or they irritate you, they pick their nose, or something you don't like about them, right? So you move on to the next person, and when you get to the next person, they don't quite match up to your expectation, so you move on to the next person. And is this true? Yeah? So that's the dating paradigm. I just want to clear that and make it understandable. Now, this concept of moving from one person to the next is really prevalent in our society today. This dating paradigm is mostly about the thrill in the relationship. Sadly, some relationships are just in it for the sex, and that's where Hollywood is in. The movies you see, it's typical scenarios. They hate each other. You know, they have things they're not in common. They fight and they separate, and then they get attracted to each other again. You know, it's like those beach scenes, like running to each other. You know, like you see each other again, right? That's the typical movie. They separate, they hate, and then they get back together, and that's where the movie ends. And you think they live happily ever after. But is that generally the case in reality? No, right? We experience a lot of broken hearts and broken relationships. And we can recognize that is not what God wanted for society. He didn't want us to go around with some burden, broken heart, and relationships, or some misery and stress, right? He wanted something better. And that's what we're going to share in the second part of the message. So according to one study, it says people are increasingly busy. Increasingly what? Busy, right? We have a lot of things, you know, you think you'll be getting the text and everything, that you'll be faster, but actually it's creating you more, becoming more busy to continue. We've become a society where we expect things instantly. and we don't want to spend the time it takes to build real intimacy with another person. So we expect instantaneous intimacy. Remember a cup of noodles? Or noodles, or like a good noodle would take 8 minutes, right? But now we have what kind of noodle? Instant noodle, right? Yeah, I want interaction, you know? I don't want to be the only one who knows about cup of noodle. You're in college, you know about cup noodles. So now this also happens with our relationship with God, right? We think that if we go to worship service, the music's just right, you know, the people, and we build up this emotion that we can have an instantaneous relationship with God, instantaneous intimacy. Or maybe you go to worship service and the whole week you didn't even have any connection with him. You think that you go to worship service and instantly you have intimacy with God. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Right? So we do this to our relationships at times with other people. Let me see here. So we don't want to have to wait on intimacy. We want it now, right? You get with someone, you want to hold hands. Hello? Oh, you want to hold hands now and everything, right? And that is how we want to do intimacy or have intimacy with another person and hold hands now, tomorrow, we'll date later, you know, a lot of different things. And we don't want it because it's more of like a physical thing that people are attracted to. So they always want to go to the next level. And so we have an instantaneous connection with intimacy because we're a society that's isolated and divided. You know, our society is becoming more and more isolated. You have your own space. You know, you have your own you have your own little bubble, right? You put your earphone on because you don't want to listen to or interact with other people. It's hard to connect. And that's the world we have currently. And this is why we have this desperate desire for intimacy. We feel lonely. I know that. You know, when like I'm lonely sometimes before, and you create doubts. You're like, does anybody love me? You know, you're not sure. Or is there someone out there for me? You know, or you feel like a Paul. You know, nobody's out there. Or you create these doubts, and they're lies, okay? You feel like, will I ever get married, you know? So you're single and you feel all lonely, and that's why you want to have a relationship with one because you want intimacy. But that might be the wrong motive at times. And to get over loneliness, what do? We try to have intimacy, relationship, connection with another person. And most of the time the relationship's a mess. Why is the relationships in a mess, and what's the cause? You ever found that sometimes the relationship get together, all they do is argue about each other. There's problem, there's connection, you know, there's conflicts, there's so many things. The problem that most relationship is in because of selfishness. And you know, because the person you're with, do not meet your expectation, so that's why you have a lot of conflicts. That's why it's selfishness, because we want to satisfy ourselves. We want to fulfill our own desires, right? Not all relationships are like this, but when you're in the majority of the time, the dating paradigm, it's like that. We don't want to get into relationship, you know, we want to get in relationship more of to fulfill our own selfishness because of how it makes you feel. When you get with someone, you're like, wow, I feel on top of the world. I could climb any mountain. Ain't no mountain high enough, you know? Or ain't no valley low enough, you know? You feel like that. But when you're not with that person, you feel, oh, you can't think about anything else, right? So the question is, what is it about? Is it more about her or is it about me? Me, yes? 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 Okay. I just wanted more interaction. It's more about how I feel. When I'm with her, I feel great. You know, I want to see her. I'm lonely. I need to spend time with someone. I need this. I need that from her. It's more selfishness, desires. So sometimes it's actually not really healthy because they can get together for the wrong reason. They can get together because maybe it's good for their image to be seen with this person, you know? That can happen, right? It's physical attraction. Using someone to enhance your own image, that's not right, is it? Mm-mm. So that's why a lot of time, many of the relationships and the dating paradigm is a mess because there's a lot of selfishness. We're in it for ourselves and not for the other person. Okay, there's a saying in movies and music today, just follow your heart. You ever heard that? A lot of time. What's that song? Listen to your heart, right? You know, like, well, now, think about it. You go to someone, you're like, you're not sure if this relationship is right or wrong, and then they're like, hey, nobody could make that decision for you. Follow your heart. Right? They do that. Like, okay. Now, is that more Hollywood culture or biblical? Hollywood. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about following your heart. Let's go to Jeremiah 17:9. You have your Bible, please go to Jeremiah 17:9. When you get there, can you say amen if you get there? Jeremiah 17:9. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Amen. I'm not there yet. Hold on. You guys are fast. Okay, 79. Everybody there? Yeah? Okay, it says, wait, where did it go? Oh, okay, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? You don't even know your own heart because this is true. I got a friend in high school, and I saw him one day. He's smiling. He's so happy. I was like, why are you so happy? You're always, like, emo, you know? Or he's just really giddy and happy. And I said, what's going on? He's like, dude, Shanae just asked me out. And he was all happy. He's like, what? I was like, okay. Yeah, man, you don't know. She asked me out. I've been wanting to ask her out, but she asked me out. So this is true love, man. This is for sure. She's the one, you know? And I ask him, okay, how do you know that? And he's like, you just know. Don't you hate those answers? Like, you just know. You just feel it, right? And I ask him, no. How do you know for sure she's like the one, you know, and everything? And he's like, if there's a bus coming, I would die for her. You know, I would jump in front and risk my life for her. That's how much I know for sure. It only lasted a week. It was horrible. So, relationship, right, you cannot base it on your own feelings because you don't know your own heart. And, you know, you think you're following your heart and doing the right things, you'll do right. But reality is your heart and your feeling changes, right? What you feel today, you're not going to feel the same tomorrow, right? How many of you, how many of you had a strong feeling for a person, for someone? And that feeling went away. Yes? Guilty? Guilty? Yes? You felt so strong for that person, then like a few weeks later, you're like, why did I even consider? Right? Your feeling changes. So, in other words, don't follow your heart. Don't just do that. You cannot trust in those tingling feelings. You know what that is? Kind of like, oh, I got the butterflies for her, you know? Or you get the tingles. And I don't think that's something that you should trust on because you know, not everybody you get the tingles with. You should not date them, right? You should not date everybody you get the tingles with. In high school, I'm waiting for, like, I think about a lot of high school. That's where my heart got broken. So you're waiting in line, and you're going to lunch or class, and then, like, the girl bumps into you. Whoa. You know, you feel this chemistry. You feel this, whoa, you know, like, wow experience, right? And you feel this connection with her. Or like, you check your class schedule, and you're like, oh, she has the same class? No way. What's the chances of that? Dang. And then you get the tingles, and you get the butterflies, right? Don't trust those, okay? Because if you're going to date everybody you get the tingles with, you might end up with a lot of broken relationships. So I don't want that for you, you know? You save yourself from a lot of heartaches, tears. And, you know, when you're sad and you're broken, you feel dumped, it's really miserable. I don't want you to go through that. And not only that, when you are broken up, it's weird, right? You're, like, not friends anymore, but you have the same friend circle, but you just say hi. Something like that, okay? I'm just like, so I don't want that, you know? And I'm going to be blunt. If you're going to date someone at church, have a relationship the church member, make sure it's the right motive. Make sure it's courtship, and that's what we're going to address the second topic, the second part of this message. Otherwise, it's weird. I've seen it. No, just kidding. I'm not going to say anybody's name. Okay, let's continue. So, and then this other time, this other person, and they said, I know for sure she's the one, right? Because when she walks in the room, it's like heaven. There's clouds and angels and everything, right? She glows, right? They're like, she's the one. And that's when that one lasted 2 weeks, and that's basically on their feelings. I had the tingles once. Yes, I did. And you guys probably did too. But here's what happened when I got the tingle. I often run with, go to fifth period. She goes the same way, opposite way. And we always, like, see each other. And, like, we see each other for, like, 5 weeks. We're like, maybe I should talk to her. And then we start talking and connecting, right? And basically, I made a lot of reasons why we should belong together. You know, she speaks Vietnamese. Uh-huh. I'm Vietnamese. She likes to eat pho. I like to eat pho. You know, et cetera, right? I make all these different excuses to get together so that we could belong with each other. Thank you. Oh, okay. So I had the tingle and it was overwhelming, and I asked her out. But sadly, 2 weeks after, I said, I'm sorry, I made a big mistake, you know, and we broke up. And when you play with people's heart, somebody gets hurt, right? Yeah, one probably get hurt more than another, the one that got dumped. And you see, my feelings betrayed me, because at the moment, I was in the moment, and I wasn't sure, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I just asked her out, you know? And you see, my feelings said it was right, but when I got with her, we didn't connect it. There's no communication. It's hard to bond. So don't trust your heart, and save yourself from breakups, because breakups are horrible. You feel sad. You're down. Everything looks black and blue, right? And you feel worthless because you got dumped. Like, you're like, am I, you know, somebody? And it's hard. I mean, John knows. I've been through that, you know? And, you know, I don't want to eat. That's just weird, right? You know, like, you're so sad. And your grades start dropping because you don't feel, like, motivated to do anything. So save yourself a lot from heartaches. So that's why I want to share this message, especially for those who are single. And we're going to see what the Bible principle has to say. Now, here's the other scenario. What happens when you get the tingles? You meet each other. There's a chemistry for a moment. Then you get into the dating paradigm. And it's all about impressions, you know? You try to impress each other. Before, you spend like 5 minutes in the mirror. Now you spend like 45 minutes. You know, you go, And then when you get to there, you're always checking, how do I look, you know? And you're more concerned about your outward appearance. You're more concerned about aware of yourself, not, you know, if you can connect, if your personalities are matching. And afterwards, you meet each other, you start flirting, you got to play with the other person's hair if you want, you smile, you look into each other's eye, and then you play this flirtatious game of, you know, of intimacy, of, you know, touching each other, like holding hands or put your hand around her waist and stuff. And That's the thing. And after that, it causes your hormones to start racing. And you get to the point where you say, why don't we just date each other, right? And what's the purpose behind dating? Intimacy, right? Mostly selfishness and intimacy. You're single, they're single, they need somebody, and you need somebody. And you want to have that thrill with that person. And most of the time, the thrill doesn't satisfy, right? Holding hand doesn't really build up a thrill. And then next thing, kissing, it doesn't really give a thrill. And it might lead to sex, and that doesn't satisfy. Those physical things will not satisfy. Relationship is more about developing our character, right? It should be more about understanding each other and ourselves. And that's why I really admire those couples that they're a couple, but you don't know it, right? They don't look like they're a couple, right? In the room, they're a couple, but they don't hold hands. They don't do anything like all intimacy, touchy. I love those relationships. I respect and admire them because it shows that they're learning more about each other, not through physical intimacy, but more about who they are and the other person. And those are wonderful couples. Okay, and so when we're looking to fulfill our own desire, it's about the thrill. And so we end up with these test drive. You ever test drive a car? I don't like it. And then you go. And you know, they said, okay, why don't we just date? And you've been single for a while. I've been single. You're a nice person. I'm a nice person. You know, why don't we just get together, right? It'll be fun. The bottom line is you're going to break somebody's heart. And this dating paradigm is working off of what gives me a thrill, what's fun. Oftentimes, a relationship that isn't going well, it's going sour, they meet somebody else, and they're like, oh, that person's more fun, has more things to do, and, you know, maybe I'm not meant to be with you, right? And they start going with the other person, and then the other person doesn't give them the same thrill. So it leads to a lot of troubles. There's a quote from Ellen G. White from the book Messages to Young People, page 450. It says, the youth trusts altogether too much to impulse, right? The tingles. They should not give themselves away too easily, or be captivated too readily by the winning exterior of the lover. They should save themselves many future heartaches. Okay, we got into this pattern in the world where, hey, relationship's going to happen, and, you know, we should just date. It doesn't really matter, you know. We've accepted breakup as a part of the pattern, right? I don't think God's idea, I don't think messy breakup are God's idea, amen? He didn't want us to walk around with heartaches and trouble, right? Imagine this. Look, I have a piece of wood. Isn't that cool? All of a sudden. Now take this. I'm going to demonstrate breakups, okay? You got a piece of wood, and you ever glue two pieces of wood together, and you try to unglue them? Have you, you know, if you do that, is it easy or hard? It's difficult, right? And when we try to take it apart, what happens? There's some piece of wood that's stuck on here, and there's some pieces here stuck to the other one, right? Now imagine that you take that same piece of wood, you apply it to another piece of wood, and you rip it apart, and then you apply it to another wood, and you rip it apart. You get the point, right? Each time you take a piece of the other wood, and how likely is that wood going to stick to another wood in the future? Not easily, right? It's bumpy, it's rough, there's a lot of dents and chips. So that's what's happening to our relationship. We've become attached to another person, and when you break up with them, you take a piece of yourself or to yourself. And we're actually supposed to heal from our relationship after a breakup. But you know what we tend to do today? I know a lot of people like this. They get over a relationship by dating someone else. Well, they're not even over the old one, right? They date someone else, and that's why, for those of you who are not, you know, in the dating paradigm, good. Do not get involved. It's chaotic. I really encourage that. So, see, before we're here, we try to glue ourselves to another person, and that creates a mess. God wants to go there and sand away those hurts and pains. He wants us to wait so that we can connect to the right person. So that's the first part. That's the dating paradigm, okay? Now, the word dating compared to courting, does that have a different connotation to it, right? Dating is just kind of random. And courting, it's more like you're working towards marriage, right? You're not in it for the thrill. You're not in it for some way to get out of your loneliness. You're in it so that you want a life partner who really, really understands you. And so the second part of the message is true love, and it's about courtship. I'm going to start off with the book Adventist Home, page 50. True love is a highly and holy principle. It's a highly and holy what, everyone? Principle. It's not feelings, it's not tingles, it's not butterflies, right? Altogether different from that love which is awakened by impulse and which suddenly dies when severely tested. True love isn't something that makes your heart beat really fast or you have high emotion for that person. True love is, again, highly and wholly principled. Hollywood shows true love as this strong, fiery, sexy, emotional driven. I sound like a movie theater, announcer. And this summer, very passionate. You know, they're passionate with each other. That's what Hollywood shows, right? But on the contrary, true love is calm. It's kind. It's deep in its own nature. It looks beyond mere external and is attracted to quality alone. Attracted to what? Quality alone. The character of the person. So in other words, this is not the way of the world, you know. God's way for true love is more of what's on the inside that counts. What's the character? Like they say, the beauty is beholder of the eye. No, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? You know, you don't love a woman because she's beautiful. She's beautiful because you love her. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, ladies, love that one. And when you love a person for who they are on the inside instead of how much they generate your hormonal rush, then that's true love. I often think this is like, I love blind people. Like, when they're in love, you know they're in love because they've never seen each other. Like, if you have a crooked tooth, it's okay. You know, you've never seen them, right? If they, you know, they look different, it's okay because they're blind and they know that person for sure. They know what's in their heart, their character. And I love, you know, I want to experience that because it's more genuine, it's real. One day, I like to experience that with, like, my wife when we get old. Not the blind part. I mean, I'm blind enough already, okay? Right? Let's go 1 Corinthians 13:4. Can anybody guess what that chapter is about? It's about love. This is where the Bible shows about love and what love is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Amen, have you got there? Amen, okay. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Okay, so some translation might have love. First characteristic of love might have long suffering. What do some of you might have? Love is patient, yeah? Long-suffering, patient. Some translation might have patient. And that's true. Patience is the first character. Out of all of the other character, God says patient is first. And that's true. Overall, we can conclude that character is more important than chemistry, right? You could have chemistry with someone, but their character is everlasting. It's longer. So what's the main thing, if you guys know? What would be the main thing we'll take to heaven? Character. Our character is what counts. So what we should be looking for is that person's character and how you can connect with that person's character. The Bible talks about the two shall be one. You know, Adam and Eve, two shall be one. What does that mean? What does it mean to have this oneness? Alan Parker puts it this way. Oneness is common beliefs, common goals, mutual respect, intimacy, unconditional affectionate, and intimate devotion to each other that encourage them to grow in the self-image of God. Oneness is a commitment to see the other person to become like Jesus. See, this isn't selfishness, right? You're in it because you want to minister to that person to become more like Christ while they're ministering to you so that you become more like Christ. It's contrast from the dating paradigm, you see. Oneness means that ministry becomes the purpose of your marriage. I made up a quote. I think it's good. I made this up in 11th grade. It was for poetry class. Okay. Love is, and you know, the class has to answer what love is. So mine is, love is doing what's best for the other person. Yeah? Right? You want to do what's best for the other person. You want them to become more like Jesus, them to become more like Christ. They're suffering some sin. They want to overcome some addictions. You want to help them. You want to make them to be more like Christ. And for those who are a couple, make sure this is your goal, right? That ministry and becoming more like Jesus should be your overall goal. Here's some biblical principles for courtship. Prepare yourself before getting to relationship. Some people say, I can't wait. I got to get with her now. You know, what if I miss my chance? You know, that happened to me. You know, or like something like that. Or what if she gets with somebody else and I'll never see her again, right? God says wait, because what you become while you wait is more important than what you're waiting for. Amen? What you become while you wait is more important than what you're waiting for. God wants to use this waiting period for a reason. He wants us to build our character. I know we don't like waiting, right? We hate waiting. And like I know Lena, she always tells me, I hate waiting, you know? We know that, right? So, but God wants us to wait. And the Bible there's a lot of waiting, right? Abraham has to wait. Jacob, he has to wait. There's a lot of waiting in the Bible. And we complain about waiting for 2 years. You know, Abraham waited 25 years. So there's a lot of waiting, because once you wait, it's much more meaningful, much more worth it, right? It helps us to build a character. If you struggle with, like, lusting, and you struggle with that constantly, you go to the mall or something, you go, whoa, you know, always, whoa, checking out people. Do you think that is going to change overnight once you get married? No, it takes time to build, right? It takes time to say, you know, I shouldn't do this. I'm going to have a wife in the future. I can't be lusting, or I can't be checking out other people. And once we wait, it's like opening a Christmas present. If you open it too early, you feel like it's not meaningful. It's not, you know, when the time is right, you open it, it's more fulfilling, right? That's why, like, I think for myself, I want to wait for the, like if I get a future wife, like, we're going to wait on the kissing part. You know, because we want to discover more about each other. I want to kiss her with, I mean, you could kiss on the cheek, that's cool. But like, kiss her with my lips would be after marriage, because it's more meaningful. You've waited, so, you know, you build character over time. You're not basing it on how much intimacy, how much touching and, you know, kissing can we have, right? You want to build so much. And, you know, if she's like, oh, we get to the point where we're so close with each other, and like, it's like the kissing moment. I say, no, wait until we're married. You know, got to resist, right? You're learning how to resist temptation. You're learning how to deny yourself. Even though you want to, you're saying no, until I know for sure what God's will is for me and her, right? So that's why waiting would be the ideal purpose that God has for us. And survey shows that the longer you wait, the better your chances for your marriage succeeding. I'm not here to say it's easy, right? It's hard. I'm not married, so I cannot tell you, but so I don't know. But I want to encourage those who are not married to wait. It doesn't mean if you already got together, God can't use you. It's too late. God can use any two people if they're willing and committed, right? Okay, so next week's about marriage stuff. So while you have this waiting period, it's a good idea to have good friends. Because before you get into a relationship, you need some friendship. They help you mature this complicated, highly emotional relationship. Because when you're in those relationships, you're pretty dumb. You know, you do things that you're like, why did I do that? You know, you don't listen to your friends, right? You need friends, because friendship provides a nice space where you could work through who you are and your identity. And, you know, if you're 18, 19, the reality is you don't know who you are and you don't know what you really want. And remember how when you were 16, look how you're a completely person now, right? Why? Because the choices you made back then are different from now. You've matured, you waited, you've learned, and from experience. So that's why God says we should wait. Another quote from Ellen G. White. Our youth, not out of their teens, is a poor judge of the fitness of a person as young as himself to be his companion for life. You shall not attempt to select a life partner while their own character is yet undeveloped. Their judgment immature, and while they are at the same time deprived of parental care and guidance. Now, that's for those who are single, okay? But what happens when you meet the one, let's say, right? And if you know that's God's will for you. Now, when you happen to get to that stage, when you develop a relationship with someone, don't plan to start developing a commitment with another person if you're not going anywhere, right? You know, why are you even trying to express an interest for the other person? Right? Somewhere along you might build chemistry, but if it's not right, don't continue any longer. You're going to save yourself a lot of trouble. But if it's right, and you know this can go further somewhere, right? What do you do next? Ask God for his guidance, for his will, if this is the right thing, the right relationship. If you're praying twice a day about the relationship, pray four times harder, right? And get some advice, because when you're supposedly in love, you are confused and you're infatuated and you can't think straight. And you start hearing like her name everywhere. You go, you see her name there, and you're like, whoa, I thought I saw her, right? Your mind, you can't get her out of your head, right? So, I mean, you can't think straight. It's a good idea to take your friend's advice. That's why at this time, when you have your friends and they tell you, don't get involved, I don't think it's a good idea. I think she's trouble. But you're like, shh, you don't know her, man. You don't know her like I do. I don't know why I have that accent right now. You don't know her like I do. You don't understand, right? But you can't hear it because your tingles, your feelings are overwhelming. It overtakes you and says, yeah, you know. But your friends see something else that you don't see. Because when you're in love, you're lost, right? You're just doing whatever. You make excuses, you know, to get involved with that person. Oh, if I just date him, I'm doing it because I'll bring him closer to Jesus. Yeah, right. I don't think so. You know, it's the wrong intention. Your feelings are misleading, so don't trust them. We're going to close very soon. Another quote from Message to Young People, page 439. I fear that you have not carefully weighed this important matter. Before taking a step, which is to exert an influence to all your future life, I urge you to give this subject careful and prayerful deliberation. So here's some question that we can ask. Will this union help me heavenward? Will it increase my love for God? Will this new relationship prove a source of true happiness? Will it help me in the Christian life? Will it be pleasing to God? Will my example be safe for other people to follow? Those are the type of questions you want to ask when you sincerely get into a holy relationship. True love is a highly and holy principle. The goal of marriage is what? Again, if you guys remember. The goal of marriage is ministry. Can we say that? The goal of marriage is ministry, one for another, to make the other person to be more like Jesus. Marriage is not about happiness. It's about holiness. Happiness comes and go, yeah? You guys know that. But holiness is everlasting. You want to build a good family? You should not base it on just happiness, because there's always going to be trouble in family. You want to build on holiness, a foundation under God, right? And so be cautious about your relationship and pray about it. So for those of you who are a couple, next week will be good for you. And I've been single since 2007, and I tell you, it's okay. It's being single is great, right? You don't have to report to where you're going, you know? Or there's no worry or stress being on the phone at late at night when you have work in the morning at 5 a.m., you know? Late at night talk, 1 a.m. And you got to wake up at 5 and stuff. And there's not this awkwardness when you run into your ex. You know, being single is really good. And you save a lot of money. Did you know? I'm just saying, I'm not hating on you guys who are a couple. But I had an ex, and you know those Q pictures? Q-U-E? A little photo studio from Japan or whatever? Well, we go there a lot, and like, I was never fond of it, but to make her happy, you know? So we take those pictures, all glittery and stars and stuff, and like 10 bucks a piece each time for like these little things, right? We went there a lot of times. You know, or when single is good because, like, You know, like, oh, that teddy bear looks so cute. $45. Okay, I'll get it for you, you know. It's your birthday, you know. Right, I have like 10 bucks in my wallet. So being single is great. Don't think that the world tells you being single is unpopular, that you're a loser for being single. No, that's a lie. Don't. Can you be effective serving God if you're single? Yes. You could, like Paul, he's a eunuch, he's single. He serves God, you know, wonderfully. We could serve God great if we're single, but it'd be more powerful if we have a life partner who has the same purpose, right? Amen? Right? If you have another partner that's not the same purpose with you, he or she might be pulling you back from serving God, right? So if both of you are the same purpose, it'll be more impacting. So unless you know you guys are the same mutual goal, stay single. Okay. I'm lost now. Oh, okay. The world might say, oh, it's unpopular to be single, but that's why I'm a Christian, because I don't feel worthless. God sees me as his own son, his child, his prince, right? He sees value in me. He tells me I'm worth something. I don't need man's approval. I don't need another woman to tell me that I'm worth something. I'm a Christian because he loved me while I was a sinner. And he takes, you know, I could go to him for all my burdens and my loneliness, you know. Instead of finding love in another person, we ought to make Jesus the love of our life. Go to him for everything. We're single, we're lonely. Make him your first, your best, and your last. Oftentimes, relationship with another person can lead them away from church, away from God. You know, they slowly spend more time with the other person instead of God. Their mind is more preoccupied with the other person. You know, maybe in worship, instead of listening to the message, you're more focused on, man, ooh, you know, what am I going to get her? And this, you're more focused on that person. You lost the whole message of the gospel. And so, you know, they can reduce your time of prayer and devotion. So don't cheapen your relationship with God, but rather improve on it. Okay, amen? Yeah? The heart yearns for human love, but this love is not strong enough or pure enough or precious enough to supply the place of the love of Jesus. Let a person give themselves to Christ before giving himself or herself to an earthly friend. Some of you have forgotten your first love with Jesus. Some of you might have been backsliding far, and you think God can't save you. God's always willing to save. And if, you know, we've been too far, he just wants us to come back, right? The things now, maybe your prayer, your readings are ritualistic, right? Or routine. It's something you just do. You know, you've replaced his love with another idol, with another relationship. You place other priorities ahead of you. And you know, in your heart, you're not spending the quality time that you used to. You know, remember the times when you have that quietness with God, that peacefulness. You've made Jesus not first anymore. So my appeal would be, how many of you wants to make a recommitment relationship with God deeper? How many of you wants, you know in your heart, you're not putting God first. You're asking, God's asking you to come back to his love. You may have the Bible app on your iPhone, but is that for show? I'm just being real. You may carry your Bible, but when somebody open it, do they see anything that's shown the site of usage? It might be like new, you know? So I'm asking, does anybody in this room wants to tell Jesus to reconnect with him again? Anybody? Put him first in the throne of your heart. Don't let other things get in the way. And if you've been reducing the amount of quality of relationship you have with Jesus, I ask you to, by the end of the day, ask for forgiveness and Jesus to put him first instead of all your other priorities.